Welcome to another message of hope from Gateway Family Church. For more information or to contact us, please visit gateway.asn.au.
Good morning, church. How are you all this morning? That is good. I have to start off by apologizing for my voice. Some of you might think that my voice is a bit average today purely because I had to greet about 200,000 guests at an engagement party yesterday, but that is not the case. The dreaded Lurgy has been chasing me down, so if I start accidentally miming at any point during the service, someone will come and just drag me off the stage. Hey, we are really excited about baptisms. It is going to be an awesome morning. And so I'm here. We know there's a lot of guests. We're really glad that you're here. So I'm here this morning to guide us through this baptism section and tell you a little bit about what baptisms is all about. And I'm pretty excited. I'm always excited when I get to share in church. First of all, if you are a guest this morning, if you don't normally come to our church, or if you don't normally come to church, you're so welcome. What I want to assure you of is that there is nothing particularly crazy going on during the service this morning beyond some individuals having a lukewarm spa on a Sunday morning. There's no like reciting any incantations happening in the water. I think that sometimes people are going to have this bit of a picture of baptism, that there's something murky or a bit secretive about it. And I'm here to reassure you this morning that there's nothing murky or secretive about it. And in fact, I have, at great personal cost, I have sought out some examples of where baptism has not actually gone so well. None of these videos are from Gateway, and hopefully none of these things happened this morning. But let's have a little look at what can go wrong during baptisms. I love that pastor's face at the end there, where he's trying to decide between laughing and killing a child in front of his congregation. Like, he can't quite figure out where he's going. There is a bit of a point to showing that, apart from just getting a cheap laugh, which makes us all feel better about this morning. But I think the thing that's interesting about those scenarios, even though we didn't actually see all of that last one, is that all of those people still ended up baptized at the end of what had happened that morning. It's a very natural, not crazy kind of thing. And just if it doesn't quite go to plan, if somebody falls over while they're baptizing you, which just quietly is actually my secret fear when I'm in the tank with people, is I'm going to lose control of somebody. That's terrifying. And it doesn't help now that I've seen it happen. there's nothing particularly crazy about it. But it is a little bit weird. So why, as a church, you might say, in the modern age, why do we encourage people to follow through on this weird tradition of having a lukewarm spa with strangers on Sunday morning? I have three reasons for you this morning that I'd like to share. The first is that it's a symbol. This is what most people think about when they think about baptism. It's a picture of salvation. It's a symbol of what God does when somebody puts their faith in Him. He washes away their sins and they start a new life on a new path aligned with God's plan for them. It's an ancient ritual which shows others what has already happened in us, which is important. What we like to say around here is that faith is a personal decision that you have to make for yourself. But once you've made that decision, it's never meant to be a private decision. It's one that you share with other people and share why, which is part of the baptism story. The second reason I think that baptism is incredibly important for the church is because it serves as a reminder. It's a reminder that we're, ironically, it's a reminder that we're not just an organization made up of a bunch of old rituals. It's ironic because we follow through an ancient ritual to show that we're not a church that's made up of empty ancient rituals. See, because the thing is, ancient rituals aren't the problem. The problem is whether they are living or whether they are empty ancient rituals. And the thing about baptism is that it undoubtedly shows to us that the church is living, that Jesus is alive and well, because we hear people's stories and we see that their lives have been changed enough that they're willing to take a lukewarm spa with strangers on a Sunday morning in front of 300 people. It's a pretty incredible thing. It's not a bad story to be able to remind ourselves of, and it's a good story to be able to tell to people who aren't normally inside these four walls, who might look at the church and see empty old rituals. If you're a guest this morning, we're super glad that you're here. And if there's one thing that I would love you to take away from your visit to church this morning, it's that this is a measure of the fact that there is something real going on in this place and in these people's lives. And thirdly, and I think this is one not to overlook, those two things, they're quite nice. We feel quite good about those things. But the third reason that we encourage people to go through with baptism is because it's an act of obedience. And obedience kind of signifies that we're trusting in something maybe that we don't totally understand. See, we get baptized because Jesus told us to and led by example. And it's recorded in scriptures. And if you don't know much about the Bible, I'd encourage you, if you think it's a dodgy book, you can go and look into it yourself as to how reliable it actually is. But it says that Jesus came from Nazareth and he was baptized by John in the river. He was in a river. It was by full immersion. He went all the way under the water. So we do the same thing here at Gateway. And then we have what we call the Great Commission, which is for when you have decided to follow Jesus, what does he want you to do? This is what he said. Go then to all people everywhere and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And again, that's exactly what we do in the tank. Just, you know, full transparency. Literally all that happens is we say, do you love Jesus? Do you want to follow him for the rest of your life? I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then we dunk them under the water. There's nothing crazy going on in the warm spa. So it is a pretty amazing thing. And obedience is important because God wouldn't be much to us if we could understand him completely. He is supernatural. So it's important that there is a part we don't understand. And because there is a part we can't understand in our humanness, there has to be obedience because of trust. You see, the Christian faith is not just some way to get into the good place when your time on earth is done. Has anybody been watching The Good Place on Netflix, by the way? It's quite funny. You should suss it out. Our life here on earth is about, or being a Christian, is about learning to be more like Jesus. It's about learning how to be a follower and trusting that Jesus wants us to have a life of significance. As Christians, we trust that when the occasional boundary is set, that it's for our good in the long run, even if we can't see why it's for our good right now. It's not a picture of a controlling boss. It's a picture of a loving dad who sets healthy boundaries for his kids. And so this morning, our three baptees in this service and a baptee earlier this morning have decided to take part in this sacred and important and time-honored tradition. Not for the sake of tradition, because that's not what we do here, but as an act of obedience and a demonstration of trust and as a symbol of what has already happened in their own lives. But, as I've said, you don't have to take my word for it. One of the other crazy things we ask our baptees to do this morning is to hop up and share with us why they're getting baptized. So we are going to do that now. And first up, we have Carly. Let's welcome her up. All good?
Just got my phone. I'm Carly, and I'm just going to quickly share a small part of why I'm standing here today. I grew up learning about Jesus and God at school and at my home. I never really liked it much because I knew that all my other friends were out watching movies or just doing everything while I was doing RE. But now I'm grateful for the opportunity I had to learn about my faith. Back then, I understood that I was a child of God and that Jesus died for me, but I didn't really understand what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus. Instead, I just blamed God for all the things that didn't go right in my life.
You're doing good.
Growing up, I didn't have much of a good school life. I got bullied about my weight, which caused me to find self-worth in other people rather than Jesus and God. I tried so hard to fit in and I just wanted to be good enough for everyone. I remember struggling for months on end about my purpose, but now I know that God has a plan for my life that
is
much greater than I could ever imagine.
Awesome.
I didn't realize until recently that I was looking in the wrong places for my self-worth. And when I started going to youth at first, I just wanted to have a chance to get friends and to finally fit in. But I didn't realize that I would be actually getting to know God as my best friend.
Awesome.
And I never thought I'd be standing here today showing my love for Jesus.
Doing good.
I used to always say to myself, you know, you can go to Friday Night Live, but you can't go to Face Down. And then, let's go to Face Down, but not Life Groups. And then Life Groups came to Camp No Fear. And then Camp No Fear came to now, and I'm here 2 years later. I am amazed looking back, seeing my growth in my faith and my love for Jesus. God already has my path for my life, and Jesus is helping me realize that this is His strength. I have the power to continue my path, even when times get tough, and I know that He's always with me. Even though sometimes I struggle with my fears and my anxiety, I know that Jesus is by my side, and I know that He will lead me down the right path as I put my trust in Him day by day. Jesus to me right now is my lifeline and my best friend, and I know He'll answer my calls. I didn't want to cry. The one thing I always remember is my favorite verse in the Bible, and that's Psalms 46 verse 10, and it says, "Be still and know that I'm God." And I picture God telling me this in troubled times. I know I'm going to be okay. I just want to thank all my friends and family for being here and for supporting me today, and especially my mum for raising me the way I am, and for the endless trips to church and youth. I can finally say after so long that I made it today. Thank you for listening.
Great job, Carly. Great job. Awesome. Very courageous and not an easy thing to get up and do this. We've got a couple more to go. Firstly, for anybody who might not know, as a lot of churches do, we have a great youth program that Carly's been a part of. And in particular, we run a camp every summer called Camp No Fear, which is... That pretty much speaks for that. So, that's the story. So we'll move on to Catherine. Let's give her a big round of applause.
Hi, my name's Catherine. I'm 19 years old, and although I'm extremely nervous standing up here, I'm getting baptized today as an act of obedience by following God's plan for my life and outwardly recognizing who Jesus is to me. Growing up, I was blessed with two incredible parents who first introduced Jesus to me and created a God-centered loving home. My parents and other figures showed me what living a life for God truly looked like and encouraged me in my own faith through scriptures and prayer. When I was 14, a relationship with Jesus became something real for me. Over the years, there have been challenging and unsure times where my faith has been tested, and I've had to believe that God was still working in these situations. He has been my anchor, my hope, and above all, my best friend. He has never left me, being beside me the whole time, sustaining me and giving me the strength to keep going. Since inviting Jesus into my life, I have seen him move within me and change my heart. One of the biggest things I have struggled with over the years and still continue to battle with is comparing myself to others and my shyness. Lacking confidence and sometimes condemning myself because of this has been an ongoing challenge. As quite an introverted and shy person, I have often held back from things that would take me out of my comfort zone. In the last couple of years, God has really challenged me in this area, from moving to a new school in year 11, starting uni, becoming a gymnastics coach, and also leading on Camp Nofia. Things that once terrified and scared me, God has given me the courage and confidence to overcome. He has amazed me with all he's been able to do when I put my trust and identity in him. Although I will never be perfect, God is, and in him I am justified and saved. He has silenced the worry and comparing myself to others, and at times these fears still appear, but I have come to know and believe that in his eyes I am more than what other people think of me. Jesus is ultimately the one who provides me with and promises peace and contentment. One of my favourite verses is Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will work out his plans for my life, for your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. When I am uncertain of the future or worried, this verse reminds me to trust God, knowing that he doesn't make mistakes and his plans will ultimately guide me.
That's great.
For quite a few years, I held off getting baptized due to the fear of having to step out of my comfort zone. Years ago, the thought of standing up and speaking in front of a large group would have absolutely terrified me. But God has shown me that the relationship I have with him is stronger than any fear. Although through what I'm doing today, he is asking me to have courage and step out in faith. Even though it may be uncomfortable or scary, he will bless me through it and give me his courage. I've come to realize that as I take steps of faith, my love for Jesus overcomes my fears. I hope God's strength in me will then reflect outwards in the things that I do and say. Through Jesus' love and acceptance, I can now know that being quiet and shy is nothing to be ashamed of, and I don't need to change this part of myself to be used by him.
Awesome.
Instead, he is transforming me in his image, helping me to be confident in who he has created me to be. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4 says, "From the inner disposition of your heart, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit is precious in God's sight." I would like to thank my family and friends, as well as the church family, for being here and supporting me in this decision, and then also finally to God, who has held my hand every step of the way. I'm so blessed and thankful for all that he has done for me and all that he has yet to
do. Awesome. Okay. Can I take just 1 second after those two and just acknowledge the importance of parents and just acknowledge how important it is how you run your households? You know, I'm a part of our youth ministry, and I love hearing those stories, and just I want you to be reminded of the impact that you get to have in your children's lives when you bring God into the household. So thank you so much for what you do. All right, we've got one more testimony. Let's please welcome up Gemma.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah,
okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Gemma, and today I'm getting baptized to make a public display of my decision to follow Jesus and accept him as my Savior. I was first introduced to Jesus by my best friend when I was in year 11. Since then, I could tell you many stories about how he's been my provider, my healer, my strength, and my guide. I could also tell you many times of how I felt alone and only heard silence to prayers. However, hindsight is a beautiful thing. When looking back at my journey so far, the one thing I can honestly say is that he has always been there with me. I choose to believe that he is a good father, even when I don't understand the situation, timing, or purpose, because I've seen it work out for the best before. I admit it has been a constant battle of wanting to lead the way and thinking that I know best. But through every decision of trusting him, and taking a step, whether it be big or small, to be more like him and to hold on to my earthly desires loosely. I know that he has my best interest at heart and that my life would be very different without him. I'd like to finish by saying my favourite Bible verses. It comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 14 to 16, and it reads, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. I pray that throughout my walk with Jesus, I can shine whatever light he's given me, and people will ask and hopefully understand that I am that way because of his love. I would like to thank my family and friends, all those near and far, who have prayed for me, challenged me, and ultimately shone their own light in my life to lead me here today. Thank you."
Thanks. Well, I'm supposed to keep on talking, but I don't know if I really need to anymore. I hope you can see what I was talking about when I say that the church is alive and well and that Jesus is alive and well in these three baptized lives this morning. And that is because of the good news that Jesus brings. And as we prepare for the actual warm spa portion of the morning, I have to stop saying that now, it's just stuck in my head. I want to share a brief reminder of what that good news is. A, because there's probably some people in the room who may not have heard it or may not have heard it recently. And secondly, because I know that sometimes, as someone who is in the church and around the church all the time, sometimes I need a reminder of what I'm here for and Jesus' promises for my life. And so this morning we're going to travel a little bit through Romans 6, which is written by Paul, who is writing to the early church. He's a wise guy. He wrote a good portion of the New Testament, and he loved writing to churches that were just starting up and people who were just figuring out what it meant to have faith in Jesus. And he's addressing often people's doubts and their concerns and their questions. And because people have been people throughout all of humanity, he is trying to close the loopholes that some people are trying to open. And we see that right at the start of this chapter where it says this: "Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace?" What a genius right there. Obviously, somebody, let's just take a second and go, he didn't just start here. Somebody's asked him that question. He's going around saying, "Jesus is great, you should follow him." And somebody said, "Hang on one second, Paul. What you're saying sounds great, but what if we just kept on sinning? What if we just got worse and worse and worse, and then when God saved us, he would seem even better because he saved us from a much worse place? Wouldn't that be much better?" Paul, in all of his wisdom, says, "Of course not. Of course not. Since we've died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death?" This is down. Just bear with me. We'll get back up again. Not for a little bit, but we'll get back up. "For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism." Well, still down. "And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we may also live new lives." Okay, guys, we're back on the ark. That's good. That's good. "Now we may also live new lives." So let's be real for a second. We've all made mistakes, and I certainly have in my life. But the hope that Jesus gives us when we choose to follow him is that we have new lives to live, with renewed purpose, with renewed hope, with renewed relationships, with renewed joy. Is everything in our past magically sorted out, as Paul says? Of course not. But we have a new life ahead of us, if only we choose to take hold of it. Let's continue reading. Since we've been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Now that, my friends, is very good news. Often there are particular phrases in the Bible that are very important, that are written a certain way. Now I want you to pay attention to the fact that this says, we're no longer slaves to sin. This is about our slavery to sin. It's not a question of whether there will be sin in our lives again, or whether we'll be tempted by the more fun option, or by the more money option, or the more new car option. Is there going to be work to do? Yes. Does it take time to bring our lives around to align with Jesus' plan for us? Yes. But do we serve a supernatural God who goes beyond what we understand and who is more than some nice self-help sayings? Yes, we do. We're no longer slaves to sin. We still have to face sin. We still have to face temptation. But we no longer have to be slaves to it. And when I say slaves, I think what Paul's talking about here is not just when sin is in our lives, because it's going to be there, but it's when it has a grip on our lives. It's that unhealthy feeling of guilt about your past mistakes, or that overwhelming, crushing feeling of failure that you just can't quite shake from the back of your mind. Those are some symptoms that you're a slave to sin. And that is the slavery that Jesus wants to free us from. We'll continue reading. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We're sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. And now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Jesus has made us right with God so that we have access to the supernatural in our day-to-day. Not just on Sunday morning, but on Monday morning and Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning and the other days. It would be take time to say all those. But I love this picture of being alive in a new way, because that has been the single greatest experience of my life as a Christian. It's been hard to follow Jesus at times. It has challenged me and it's stretched me, and I've had to make sacrifices, and I've shared before in this place that I had like 80% made plans to just like totally disappear and throw it away at times because it was hard and it challenged me. But I'm still here because to me, there is nothing like living a life marked by supernatural purpose. I believe in real, meaningful life. Not just an enjoyable life, but a meaningful one. Although a meaningful life marked by Jesus often involves light enjoyment in great community and deep, satisfying joy seeing God work in my life and in the lives of those around me. And now, as I said about the slavery to sin verse, there's another key word in what we just read, which is the word consider. And I think it's important because I think that Paul really is understanding our humanity in the way that he phrases it. He writes, you should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. It's important because it's a clear recognition in this scripture of exactly what I've been talking about. There will be times where you don't feel free from sin. There will be times where you feel its influence, where you feel its pull, where you feel its temptation. But this word consider, it speaks to our brains and how we think and how we consider facts and feelings as two separate things. Because if we believe in Jesus and we're following him, then the facts say that we are free from slavery to sin, whether our feelings back that up or not? To me, the extended version of this phrase would be this. No matter how you're feeling, no matter how you're feeling, consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Because you are. That's the good news that each of our baptees this morning have seen in their lives and have led them to this decision. And if you're here this morning wondering what it might be like to have that freedom in your life, in place of the guilt you feel or in place of the strife that you seem to be in, then I'm here just to make an offer this morning. Not to put you on the spot. I'm not asking you to sign your life away this morning. I want to extend a simple offer to you. If you'd like to experience more of this good news in your life, then carve out an hour and a half on Sunday mornings and come to church and hear great stories from people as they're baptized, hear great teaching, learn more about Scripture, and experience more of what it means to be in a community that loves Jesus. Because if you do all of those things, you'll gradually come to know who Jesus is and see how he is alive in this place. And if you want to go a step further, if you do want to do something more practical this morning, you can scribble something down on your prayer card. You can tick that you made a spiritual response on your response card and someone will follow you up during the week. Or even after the baptisms, our prayer team will be available over just next to the tank and you can wander over there and talk about or ask any questions that you need to ask. I'm just going to pray. Hey Lord, I just thank you so much for what you have done and the freedom that you died to bring us. Lord, I thank you for the courageousness of our baptees as they have shared their stories this morning. And I just pray in advance that this baptism experience would just be such a blessing in their lives and that they would really remember it as a stake in the ground moment. And Lord, I just pray for the hearts of everybody here, whether they're regular attenders who've lost sight of the good news because of the busyness of life, or perhaps someone who's heard it for the first time. Lord, I just pray that you would be alive and speaking to them in this time. In your name, amen. Well, we're going to get to the actual baptisms now. For anybody who hasn't seen this happen before, the band is going to play and you guys can stay seated. We have limited space around the tank, so you can stay where you are and they'll all be on the big screen. So make sure you look up there. And then when we're done, the band will let you know when you can stand up and go back to worshiping. So let's enjoy.
Thanks for listening to this message from Gateway Family Church. We hope you join us again for another great message next week. For more information or to contact us, head to gateway.asn.au.